Good morning, Eric Perez here with our next in a series of podcasts looking at the impact of white spot on our fisheries in Moreton Bay, and in particular the development of a class action to try and get some compensation and some legal redress for those businesses that have been impacted. Because at this stage the federal government, and not just the federal government, but no level of government has provided any assistance to impacted commercial fishing businesses. So on the podcast today with me is Chris Thompson from Law Essentials. How are you going, Chris?
Yeah, good, thanks, Eric.
Look, appreciate your time today, Chris. And I had a lot of calls on this, particularly media calls in the last few weeks, asking why have we gone ahead with the class action. I think getting your perspective on it, because you've spoken to what is over 100 commercial fishing businesses about this, you'll bring something different to the discussion. So just to start off with, where are we at with the process to date related to the class action?
Right, so the process at the moment is we're signing up affected businesses. Really, that's begun with the fishermen or the fishers themselves at this point in time. We've got over 100 of those people signed up. There are clearly more businesses that have been impacted by white spot, so that extends to processors, seafood handlers, whatever it might be that's associated with the industry. They are affected as well. So at the moment, we're trying to get a number of potential businesses that have been impacted to be able to then move forward with that group of people seeking damages for the white spot disease outbreak.
Okay, so can I ask what is the process in a couple of steps for someone to become involved, and what are the expectations of a business if they do become involved?
All they have to do at this stage is contact Law Essentials. There's nothing to pay. There's nothing to. There's no massive amounts of documentation or anything else at this stage. Businesses out there are smart enough to realise whether white spot disease has actually impacted them financially. So if they believe they have that impact, then they should be doing something about it, because the alternative simply is you do nothing and you get nothing. As simple as that.
Okay, so one of the issues around this idea of compensation and trying to put a bit of crystal ball gazing here, so this is a scenario that may or may not take place. Let's assume worst case scenario, the white spot disease incursion becomes endemic in the region. You would assume that there would be ongoing market impacts of that declaration. And so does that factor in at all to the legal case, in that there are going to be ongoing impacts for the businesses that have been hit by this from 2 years ago on an ongoing basis, and that would form part of what you'd be looking at to get some kind of redress for them in court?
Certainly, but let me just start with this. It's not what Law Essentials is pushing forward is not compensation as such from the government. It's a damages claim. The difference simply being that a damages claim is something you bring in a court that is what your loss is as a result of the negligence of another party, i.e. in this case, the federal government, having those mega breaches of the borders to allow this disease in, despite years and years of warning of its potential, as I understand it. So because of that negligence of the disease coming into the country, Joe Blow, the fisher, has had a financial impact, and therefore that financial impact what's called his damages, and so that's what's being pursued with this class action. That's different to compensation, where sometimes a government might say, oh, well, we're going to compensate you for this, etc. The government may end up doing that or proposing that, perhaps, but without the benefit of a crystal ball, you could hazard a guess that any amount of compensation that the federal government might put forward ultimately will not be in the same category of what an individual's actual financial losses are. So simply, you'd expect any compensation that the government might throw up would be a pittance of what a person can actually achieve with getting their true losses from a damages claim.
Okay, that you've answered one of my next questions around what are the chances of government ever compensating industry, and given the last 2 years, the feedback I get from fishers is we'll never see the light of day in terms of any assistance, because no assistance at any level has been provided to industry. We've been, as in the association, has been the target of letters from the minister's office saying, well, we gave you a certain amount of money which might constitute assistance, but that's been put wholly and solely into developing materials around biosecurity preparedness that will help possibly for the next outbreak, but does nothing for what's happened since white spot has hit. So it clears up a few things in my mind, at least, so when I'm asked these questions, so I can refer people to this particular podcast, because it is about damages. It's not about purely compensation. So which one of the questions that I've been asked a lot is, let's say Business X in Moreton Bay becomes involved, and two scenarios: there is a win and the case has gone ahead and there's a win. What kind of damages could they get under the scenario that someone is helping to fund this case to go ahead? And then the reverse, if the case is not successful, are the businesses involved in the class action potentially liable for monies if the case goes south?
Yeah, okay. Well, firstly, I'll say if this class action is to get rolling, it does require a backer to fund the legal costs and the quantum assessments to work out what people's damages actually are. They are, as I said before, real damages. So Business X isn't just claiming for some arbitrary figure. They're claiming for exactly what they've lost, so it will be scrutinised down to their books as to exactly really what their losses are. With respect to the cost to do that, it's naturally taking on a party like the federal government is a costly exercise. So if we were to engage a litigation funder, then what the process with that would be is that they fund all the costs to bring Business X and all their colleagues' claims forward, funds the whole thing, and even goes so far as to say, and all in writing, of course, that if the action failed for some bizarre reason, then the funder would pick up any tab of any adverse costs order, etc., that might occur from then. So for Business X, there is literally zero risk whatsoever. They will not be forking out any money from their pocket in the short term, or in the long term for that matter. Any funds that are received through an ultimate court order or settlement or whatever it might be, only then, out of those proceeds of Business X's proportion of those proceeds, will any costs come out of to obviously repay the funder their expenses. So the funder's expenses are all the legal costs that are incurred in running the case, so they fund all those, like my costs, etc. The funder then has, as part of their agreement, because they're an investment company in effect, so they, why would they fund something? Obviously, they're wanting a return back. So what they would do, and this would all be up front with any claimant before it all, before they sign the dotted line with a funder, is that the funder will say that they're going to then take out of any pot of money that is ultimately ordered, that they might take 20-25% or something like that of that, and then all other costs come out of that amount as well, and then the rest leaves, is left, I should say, for the businesses that have claimed. Now, an obvious question out of that is, for Business X, is, well, what if there's no money left for me and it all goes to the funder and the legal costs? And the answer to that is that they are safe, namely that because it's a class action run through the court process, the court has the ultimate discretion to decide whether costs are actually reasonable. So there would never be a case where funds are received from the federal government with a win in this case, and then suddenly we're saying to Business X, oh, sorry, you're only getting 5% of what we sort of achieved here. That just can't happen. That'd clearly be unreasonable just looking at the pub test. But it's unreasonable with the court, obviously, and the court wouldn't allow that. So they'd assess what's reasonable in the circumstances for the costs to be played out.
Okay, that's brilliant. That clears up a couple of the key questions. So what we'll do from this point is we'll, one, post this podcast up on the website and make it available for people to have a listen to, and with your okay, I'll put down your contact information regarding this so that if people have specific questions based on their businesses that they can contact you direct. Will that be okay, Chris?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay.
And if I can just say one more thing, Eric, just to final, and I said this at the start of this podcast, but it's a simple case. If a person's impacted, they have got a claim. Liability for letting this in over the borders, the disease in over the borders, doesn't appear to be too much of an issue because it obviously happened. The question is, well, how much is someone's claim worth? Obviously, a person's claim is from the day it came in through to today, for starters, and then it's ongoing, obviously, because even if there's no more white spot, as you know, for the next 2 years, there's still going to be impacts from today for another 2 years. Hopefully that is all it is, but chances are it might be more than that. So people will have those ongoing claims that will need to be worked out, and they don't have to try to work them out themselves. I mean, no one's got a crystal ball, but there are methods to work out, well, what someone's ongoing loss. The other thing is that if you don't do anything, if these businesses don't do anything about it, well, they're guaranteed of getting zero. So people might think, oh, white spot disease is terrible. Look how it's affecting me. Well, today's the day to stand up and say, well, I'm going to do something about it, and get on board with this class action, which is just no win, no fee, which means no risk, no one's forking out any money at the start, and the worst case scenario, if you can look at it that way, is that you get nothing at the end because you don't pay anything. So your worst case scenario is what you are right now, getting zero. You want to stand up and have a crack, then you need to get on board.
Okay, Chris, thanks very much. So that's been Chris Thompson from Law Essentials providing us with a very detailed update as to what's happening with White Spot. And again, we'll put some information there for those of you who are listening to the podcast for more information on the class action through a contact through to Chris. So thanks again, and thanks to everyone, and we'll catch you up on the next podcast.